Okay, the end of Parshas Va'era. I'm going to work our way backwards a little. The end of Parshas Va'era is the Makkah of Borod, of hail. And there seems to be an incredible importance in that specific Makkah to the Inyan of Yiras Shamayim. There's instructions in that Makkah. Hayore es devar Hashem, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf. Hayore es devar Hashem, Yavdei Paroi. The one who fears the word of Hashem from the servants is Paroi. Heines es avodav yes mikneu el habotim. He brought his servants and his cattle into the houses. Those who had Yiras Shamayim were able to have more limited damage from that Makkah. You don't find by any other Makkah that it made a difference if you were Yiras Shamayim or not. By Makkah's Borod, you find this concept that if you had Yiras Shamayim, Hayore es Devar Hashem, you had some Yiras Shamayim. It was a very, very limited Yiras Shamayim. Granted, they were afraid of being killed, but if you had some element of Yiras Shamayim, you were able to be saved a little bit from the Makkah. You could protect yourself. It doesn't say that someone who had Yiras Shamayim was saved from the Makkah of Dom or Tzvardeya. It doesn't say that. And later on, Moshe Rabbeinu himself discusses Yiras Shamayim. Paroi calls Moshe, and he says, Chatasi hapam, I did an Aveira, Hashem HaTzadik, Hashem is the Tzadik, v'ani v'ami ha-Rishoyim, and me and my nation are the Rishoyim. That's a pretty big hakara, that's like a good vidui there. Agav, I have to mention that my father told me that his father used to say that even there Paroi wouldn't give it up. And Paroi really meant, Hashem HaTzadik v'ani. Hashem is a tzaddik and me. Va'ami ha-Rishayim, and my nation is the Rishayim. But granted, in the Pashup Shat, at least in the reading of the Pasuk, this was an unbelievable admission over here. Hashem a tzaddik, va'ani va'ami ha-Rishayim. Daven to Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not convinced. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to go out of the city. I'm going to daven to Hashem. The noise will stop. The hail will stop. And you'll know that Hashem is in charge. But I know. Ve'ata ve'avodecha, and you and your servants, yodati, I know, ki terem tirun mipnei Hashem aleikim. And the way Rashi learns that, you still didn't get any Yiras Shamayim. You're talking the talk now. That's good. Aniva ami harashayim. But it's only because it's hailing right now. But I know that your true Yiras Shamayim has not yet come. So I'd like to discuss a little bit the Indian of Yiras Shamayim in the context of Makkah's Borod. And working our way backwards, the truth is that we get caught up in the Inyan of Yiras Shamayim right when we start Chumash Shemais. In the parasha that we laid yesterday, so there are two women who do an unbelievable act of self-sacrifice. They're instructed by the king to kill all male babies that are born. And they, in an unbelievable demonstration of sacrifice, of Mesiras Nefesh, they disobey the Melech. They disobey the king, and they don't listen to what the Melech says. How is that described? See, if we were describing it, we would say, and it was when the Mialdais saved Jewish babies. And it was when the Mialdais were Mesir Nefesh. And it was when we would describe it in great terms, and the Pasuk describes it just as Yiras Shamayim. Vayhiki Yoru HaMialdais Asoel Lekim. And it was when the Mialdais had Yiras Shamayim. We're in a different pasuk. Vatirena haMialdais as well like him. The Mialdais had Yiras Shamayim. That's how the pasuk describes what the Mialdais did. For us, that would be one of the ingredients of what they did. The act that they did was that they saved lives. But we describe it as Vahiki Yoru haMialdais as well like him. So let's go back to the basics and let's discuss what Yiras Shamayim is. When we say Yiras Shamayim, what is that? So, one place to, obviously this is a huge Indian, but one place to start is from a very, very famous Chazal that says, Hakol bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of Hashem, chutz mi Yiras Shamayim, except for Yiras Shamayim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem except for Yiras Shamayim. Now what's this except? What's not in the hands of Hashem? So we know that what's not in the hands of Hashem is our ability, is free will. Hashem, Kaviyachal, gave over out of his rishus, out of his shlita. Hashem can no longer choose what I'm going to spend the next few minutes doing. Hashem, Kaviyachal, gave that over to me. Only I can choose what I'm going to spend the next few minutes doing. I can spend the next few minutes serving Hashem, or I can spend the next few minutes doing other things. It's in my choice. That's Bechira. And when we say everything is in the hands of Hashem except for Yiras Shamayim, we're talking about Bechira, because that's what's not in the hands of Hashem. So Yiras Shamayim, and that concept means the understanding that I'm in front of Hashem and I have to listen to Him. It's not just the one mitzvah of Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim is one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. Es Hashem Alekecha Tira. It's one of the Rambam brings it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to have Yiras Shamayim. But when we say Yiras Shamayim, besides it being one of the 613 mitzvahs, it's also the foundation to all the mitzvahs. It's the foundation of the whole Bechira. Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyiras Shamayim. It's the thing that makes us special. It's the foundation of everything. So if I'm going to shake a lulav, it's going to be drawing strength from Yiras Shamayim. If I'm going to light Tchanak Alecht, it's going to be drawing strength from Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim is the foundation to all mitzvahs. In a word, if we have to tighten it up in a word, what Yiras Shamayim is in this context, in a sentence, it's Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, which is how Shulchan Aruch starts. That's Yiras Shamayim. I'm in front of Hashem. I place Hashem in front of me. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi. That's the catalyst. That's the engine that keeps everything going in our Avodas Hashem. That's what keeps us moving in Avodas Hashem. That we're in front of Hashem. In Revolva's words, Yiras Shamayim is Hakoras HaAdam, the recognition of a person, Shehu Nivra Lufnei HaBoyri, that he's a creation in front of his Creator. That's Yiras Shamayim. So, with that explanation, understanding of Yiras Shamayim, that it's not just a mitzvah to fear Hashem, but it's the whole recognition that I'm in front of Hashem that causes me to do all His mitzvahs. And again, as we mentioned many times, we live in a world where it's not instinctive, that recognition. The world doesn't recognize Hashem. It's not like in Shemayim. If we lived in Shemayim, so HaShemayim is Saparim Kavoyed Keil. You can't miss Hashem if you live in Shemayim. You can't miss it. Over here, it's possible to miss, as many millions of people do. It's possible to miss it. Yiras Shamayim is the recognition that even though I don't necessarily see that I'm in front of Hashem right now, but I know that I'm in front of Hashem. I'm makir, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. I'm placing Hashem in front of me. I recognize that I'm in front of Hashem. That's the cause of our whole Bechira. That situation that I'm not naturally in front of Hashem, I don't naturally sense that I'm in front of Hashem, but I have the ability to create an awareness that I'm in front of Hashem, that's Bechira. What separates a person from an animal, from a malach, from every other creation in the world? Bechira. Adam is the only person, the only nivra that has Bechira. So it comes out that Yiras Shamayim, again, I'm just trying to bring it out from the side and bring it to the center. It's not one mitzvah, it's not a side thing. Yiras Shamayim is what makes us different, what makes us unique. Yiras Shamayim is what fuels the whole uniqueness of Adam. As we talk more, it'll become clearer, but this is the aside of Yiras Shamayim. This week when we were learning Maseilas Yesharim, we came across, I think, as an interesting chiddush. And it gives across, I think, the flavor of what I'm trying to get across with Yiras Shamayim. Maseilas Yesharim, towards the beginning, Parak Dalet, he brings a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga, we did this together. The Gemara in Chagiga says like this. It says, Rabbi Yochanan, and there's a whole, I did this with Shalom, it took us a couple of weeks to get through, a lot of Amoraim, they used to read Pesukim, they would start crying. When this one reached this Pasuk, he would start crying. When this one reached this Pasuk, he would start crying. So Rabbi Yochanan, when he reached the following Pasuk, he would start crying. When he reached this Pasuk, he would cry. The Pasuk says, like, it's a Pasuk in Malachi, and it's about the din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us when Mashiach comes. And it says, V'korafti aleichem l'mishpat, I'm going to come close to you to judgment. V'hoyisi eid b'maher, I'll be a swift witness. Things are going to move, not like today when you're the court system. Things are going to move, it's going to be swift. Now you understand Shah and the Pasuk, it's interesting. V'stam Malachi didn't understand such a good Shah like we do. V'hoyisi eid b'maher, I'm going to be a swift witness. V'amechashvim, who am I going to punish? Magicians. Mechashvim, it's a terrible aveira, chiyav misa. V'amenoafim, people that are mezana, gilui arayas. Vanishboim la sheker, people who swear falsely. Ube oishke schar sochir almana viyasek, someone who holds back the wages of a widow or an orphan, doesn't pay them on time, and they're poor. Umate ger, someone who who twists the judgment of a ger, this defenseless ger, he twists their judgment to get money out of them. V'loyu reyuni, and they don't fear me. Amar Hashem tzavakos. That's what Hashem says. So Rabbi Yochanan, when he was reading this pasuk, he's like, one second, this is so out of balance, this pasuk. Holding back wages and being mezana are both averis, but they're not on the same page. You have a pasuk here that's just like, it's just like not equal. You know, exhorting money out of somebody is a very serious thing, but it's not a chiyuv misa. Being a magician, that's a chiyuv misa. How does the Hashem just say, I'm going to punish people, you know, it's like I'm going to punish people who kill and cheat on their taxes. Like, how do you put those two in the same pasuk? They're both serious issues, but they're not the same thing. So Rabbi Yochanan burst out crying, and he said, Eved, a servant, Sheshoiklin Olav, that they measure for him, Kalois Kechamurois, the light, the lenient Averis, with the serious Averis, Takana Yeshle, is there any hope for him? So the Mesil Sisharim right away comes in and says, one second, is that really what the Pasuk is saying, that Hashem is going to equally punish severe Averis and light Averis? Is that really what the Pasuk is saying? So Mesilas Yisharim says right away, Bevadai, certainly, he says, the kavana of this Gemara is not that you get punished the same way for Kalais and Chamurais. It's impossible. He says, we know one of the basic foundations of our Emunah is that Hashem punishes Mida Keneged Mida. And if someone does a severe Avera, he gets a severe punishment. Someone does a lighter Avera, he gets a lighter punishment. It's one of the foundations of our Emunah. So the Mesilas Yisharim says it's impossible that what Rabbi Yochanan was expressing was that it really is true that talking ben gavra le gavra is the same as Ritzicha. It's just impossible. So he says that what the pshat is that it doesn't mean to say that the severity of the punishment is the same. It means to say that Hashem's attention to the avera is the same. Hashem pays, like the famous story, I think it was with the Gra, that he had a not-from person in front of him, and he told that, and I forgot the exact details of the story, but the basic bottom line of the story is that he told the person, just because you don't keep Shabbos doesn't mean that Hashem is not going to be toveh you for not washing my machronim. Hashem doesn't forget the small things because of the big things. You know, when I was giving the shir, the mashal that I gave is, in court and in Bezdin, if somebody shoots someone and kills them, so he's going to go to court for murder. But when he goes up to Shemayim, Hashem is going to judge him for murder and for ripping the guy's shirt, because the bullet ripped the shirt. That's also, now even in Bezdin we're not going to do that because we have Kamal Levi Durabimine. But in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is going to be measured. Will the punishment for the ripped shirt be the same as the punishment for killing? Of course not. But don't think Hashem is going to pay less attention to the ripped shirt. Hashem pays attention to everything. That's what the Mesilas Yisharim says. Evet Shesheiklem Rabbi, Evet Shesheiklem Alav Kalais, that his master pays equal attention to the big things and the small things. Takana Yeshlei. That's what he was saying. I wanted to suggest a different shot in the pasuk and in the Gemara. Not a steer to the Mesilas Yisharim, just a little bit of a different angle on it. And will bring us back to the concept of Yerushalayim that we're talking about. And we'll say a marshal. There was once a king that was walking down the main thoroughfare in the capital city. And he saw a man kill his friend. He saw it happen sometimes, a shuffle in the street, and he saw someone kill his friend. The king is right there. He says, send him to prison. I'll deal with it tomorrow. He keeps walking down the street, and he sees a guy dumping the garbage from his house straight into the street. You're not allowed, it's illegal. But he sees a guy dumping the garbage out of his house into the street. So the king says, straight into prison. The next day, the two people stand in front of him, Lamishpat, in front of the king. And the king says, kill them both. So someone who was standing there in front of the melech said, you know, your highness, with all due respect, how do you equally treat someone who threw garbage in the street to someone who killed? It's true, it's both illegal. But how do you compare those two things? So the king said like this. The king said, you're 100% right. Objectively speaking, someone throws garbage in the street should get a fine, and someone who kills should get killed. That's objectively speaking. That's when I'm not watching. But if someone in front of my face kills, and in front of my face throws garbage in the street, it doesn't matter what he did. Both people are rebelling against the king in front of his face. The law is don't throw garbage in the street. If while I'm standing right there, you throw garbage in the street, it doesn't matter what you did. It matters in front of whom you did it. You did a very severe thing because you did it in front of the king. It's a rebellion. It doesn't matter what the law is. You don't break the law in front of the king. That's the mashal. And the nimshal is obvious. That in every Aveira, we have to look at two parts of the Aveira. If we were in Brisk, we would say there's two dinim in every Aveira. There's two dinim in every Aveira. There's the Aveira itself, and then there's the lack of Yiras Shamayim that was part of the Aveira. Every Aveira also has a lack of Yiras Shamayim. Now maybe not an Aveira B'Shoigeg, we were talking about this in Yeshiva, maybe an Aveira B'Shoigeg doesn't have a lack of Yiras Shamayim and so on. What? Right. So every Aveira, you were over that Aveira, that's a serious Aveira. But every Aveira, besides for the Aveira that you were over, it's also a rebellion against the king. In terms of the Aveira itself, there's different levels of Aveira. But in terms of the rebellion against the king, it doesn't really matter what the Aveira is, it's an equal rebellion against the king, and that's because of the fact that for us, we don't need the king to be walking down the street to be in that situation. We're always standing in front of the king. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyiras Shemayim. We have to be Yirei Shemayim. We have to recognize. We have, like Rav Volba said, Hakoras Hanivra Shehu Lifnei Habayre. The recognition that we're standing in front of our Creator. That's Yirei Shemayim. So even though the king may not be walking down the street in front of our eyes, but the chiyuv of Yirei Shemayim is to recognize that the king is in front of me. And in the sense of the fact that I'm supposed to be in front of Hashem, it doesn't matter what I did. And I have a gevaldige raya that this yisoid is right. A person does an aveira, so that means that he has to do tshuva for two things. He has to do tshuva for the aveira that he did. He also has to do tshuva because he demonstrated a lack of yiras shamayim. He demonstrated a lack of hakara, a lack of recognition that he's in front of Hashem. And sure enough, if you open a shari tshuva, you'll see that one of the ikrei hatshuva, and I'll read it to you, the 13th ikrei hatshuva, hayud gimel, Liyos ha'averos hakalos chamuros be'enav. That the light averos should be serious in front of his eyes. And the Rabbeinu Yonah brings four reasons why that's important for tshuva. But reason number one is, ho'echad, ki ein lo lehabit lekatnas ha'avera. He should not look at the smallness of the avera, avol yabit, but he should look legadlos misha hizerole, at the greatness of the one who commanded it. Which is exactly what the king told his advisor. So Rabbeinu Yonah, who's designing how a person should do tshuva, is creating a situation where you're doing tshuva for what you did, that's the other ikrim, but there's also an ikr of recognizing that it doesn't matter what the avera was, it matters in front of whom you did it. That's the second din of every avera, the fact that it was a lack of Yiras Shamayim. So I want to suggest, and I have a very strong raya to it, which I'll tell you in a minute, I want to suggest that that's why Rabbi Yochanan was crying. That he was saying that it's true that in terms of looking at the Averis, every Averis is different, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Mida Keneged Mida. But what happens when Hashem looks at the Yiras Shamayim of the Avera? What happens when Hashem looks at that part of the Avera? Then it's the same. Kalis and Chamurais are the same. And this, Rabbi say, this is Beferish in the Pasuk. It's Beferish in the Pasuk. I think it's indisputable. I'll read you the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'karavti aleichem l'mishpat. V'hayisi eid memayer. I'm going to be a swift witness. V'amechashvim, v'amenoafim, v'aneshboim l'ansheker, v'ba'oishkei schar socher almona v'yosim matager, v'lo yireuni yomer Hashem tzvokes. And they don't have Yiras Shamayim. That's how the pasuk ends. The pasuk ends that Hashem says that what's bothering me here is the lack of Yiras Shamayim. And Hashem is saying, I would never group all these things together when I'm talking about the severity of the Avera itself. But in terms of V'lo Yireuni, in terms of the Yiras Shamayim, it's all the same lack of Yiras Shamayim. V'lo Yireuni, Yomar Hashem. It's all lack of Yiras Shamayim. Again, it doesn't matter what the Avera is, it matters who commanded it, that we're in front of Hashem. So that's just an angle to bring out this idea that the whole concept of Yiras Shamayim is that even though I don't recognize that I'm in front of Hashem naturally, but my job over my lifetime is to instill within myself, even in situations where I may not see Hashem, to instill in myself the understanding and the recognition that I'm in front of Hashem. That's Yiras Shamayim. Now we go back to the Makkah of Barad. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Pari, and I know, and you and your servants, Yodati, I know, Ki terem tirun with Neshem, you still don't have Yerush Shemayim. I, Pari, is screaming, Aniva Ami Yerushalayim, there's a lot of Yerush Shemayim. The Teretz is, that's not Yerush Shemayim, that while the hail is falling, he's saying, Aniva Ami Yerushalayim. That's not your, the way we're described, that's not Yerush Shemayim. But Hashem is knocking you on the head and you have Yerush Shemayim. That's not, doesn't take a great kunst. The whole Indian of Yerush Shemayim for which man was created was when the Barad is not falling. That's what the whole point is. When the Barad is not falling, that's the whole point of Yerush Shemayim. And the Ramban learns, the Ramban says, Terem doesn't mean you're still not Yerush Shemayim. The Ramban says that Terem, the word Terem usually means before. Ki terem, he says that before the, it goes away, tirun mifnei Hashem lekim. That's when you have Yerush Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu saying, "Ani yodati, and I atav adecha yodati. I know ki terem that before the makkah goes away, tirun mifnei Hashem lekim. That's when you have Yerush Shemayim." That's what the Ramban and the Eben Ezra learn Pshat. There's a rule that whenever we want to have the pnimius of a word, we should look at the first place it exists in the Torah. And what we're saying here is that this terem tirum efnei Hashem alekim, and this is what the message of Makkah's Barad is that you Egyptians are not worthy of being called Adam. You're not an Adam. Adam was created to have Yerush Shemayim. Like Kolbi Deshman Chutz Miyerush Shemayim. If all you're able to do is to have Yerush Shemayim while Hashem is knocking you on the head, that's behema. An animal also listens when you knock him on the head. That's not the madrega of Adam that I can have. I can conceptualize something even though it's not hitting me in the head. That's the message of the Makkah of Barad. Ki terem tirum efnei Hashem alekim. That's not an Adam. That's not the Tzuras Adam, that while the Barad is falling, you have Yerush Shemayim. That's easy. Where's the first place it says terem in the Torah? B'chol siach hasadeh terem yeh ba'aretz. And all the grass before it sprouted. B'chol esev hasadeh terem yitzmach. And all the grass before it grew. The Adam ayin, and Adam did not exist, lave deso Adama. Adam did not exist to work the ground. Terem is describing a situation of the Adam ayin. There was no man. That's what the fuzz is. The Adam ayin, lave deso Adama. There was no man. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Pharaoh. But after terem, tirum fnei Hashem, that's Adam ayin. You're not, that's not called an Adam. That type of Yerushalayim. That's not called an Adam. Since that's the message of the Makkah of Barad, that Yerush Shemayim means to be able to conceptualize the existence of Hashem, even when he's not knocking me on the head. So therefore, that's the Makkah, where the Mitzrayim, at least that they had enough Yerush Shemayim, that the day before the hail fell, they brought their animals in, which means that they thought that there was at least a 1 in 100 chance that Hashem existed, right? How much does it take? If you hear like there's a 1 in 100 chance that Hashem existed, so that much Yerush Shemayim, at least that much conceptualizing, that they didn't have to be actually slapped in the face with it, that they were saved. Because that's the message of the Makkah of Barad. And there's an unbelievable remez to this concept. Because at the end of the parsha it says that the wheat was not destroyed in the Makkah of Barad because it was soft. And the Barad fell, it flattened down. But the barley, which has already more matured, all the barley cracked and got destroyed. Now we know, B'chol HaShas, that barley is Michael Behema, is animal food. It's called animal food. And wheat is called people food. The Achil of Adam is Lechem. Like, for example, the carbon of a Saita, of a woman who's a Saita, is barley. Because it says she acted like an animal, so her carbon is animal food. Sa'irim is always Meichel Behema. Chitim is Meichel Adam. That's why we bring from Chitim on Shavuos, the carbon is from Chitim, to show that we became an Adam when the Torah was given. Chitim is people food. So the Makkah of Barad, which was to destroy and to punish those who don't have the Yiras Shemayim that defines an Adam, so the barley, which represents animal food, that was destroyed. But the wheat, which represents people food, that was not destroyed in the Makkah of Barad. The true Adam, the one with Yerush Shemayim, he wasn't destroyed in the Makkah of Barad. Now this is not a side point in Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the creation of Atem Kruyam Adam, of the true Adam, which Klal Yisrael is the true Adam. We're the real Yershim of Adam Arishim, the true Adam. And since Yerush Shemayim is such a basic component of it, it's not a surprise to find a tremendous attention given to the concept of Yiras Shamayim in the Makas and in the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why in our introduction to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the introduction to the whole parasha of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the Miyaldais being Moser Nefesh, which ultimately brought about the Lady of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yitzias Mitzrayim, the midah that we're going to pick, even though they did tremendous, they were Moser Nefesh, but the midah that we're going to pick out that they did, that was a schus for them in the beginning of the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim, was Vayihi ki yoru ha-miyaldeis ha-soalikim. They had Yiras Shamayim. They didn't see Hashem, but they knew that He was there. And their awe of the King of Kings was greater than their awe of the King in the flesh that was standing in front of them. That's the midah that we're looking for when we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the midah of an Adam. I was thinking, we say Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samit. That's Yiras Shamayim. As the Rambam says in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samit. Why did David have to say Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samit? Let's say he would have just said, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi. I place Hashem in front of me. We would have thought that he takes breaks. We would have thought that sometimes he doesn't and sometimes he doesn't. Why does he add in that word, Tamish? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi, oh, always I do it. Oh, I thought you only do it like between 2 and 4. Now I know that you do it always. Like, what's the Tamid? I think there's a message there. That is, someone was once telling me that the Bali Musar have a name for this. There's some kind of midah called Hishtavus, equality. And that means that there's a certain madrega in a person that the situations around him can change and he doesn't change. Naturally, people act differently to different people, differently in different situations, differently on Shabbos and a weekday, differently on vacation and not vacation, differently in this group of friends or that group of friends. People change, copy the situations that they're in. There's a drop of a chisaron in that. If I am who I am because I'm standing in front of Hashem, it doesn't matter who's in the room. I am who I am. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tzamid. Tamid, b'chol zman ve'es. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what situation I'm in. Tamid, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi. Hishtavos. It's all the same. It's all the same. I'm the same person. It's all the same. The beginning of Parsha Shemais again. V'yosef haya b'mitzrayim. At the beginning of Parsha Shemais. V'yosef haya. And Yosef was in Mitzrayim. So that's an odd thing to say. It was something that we already knew. So Rashi says over there, who Yosef? It was the same Yosef that was the shepherd of his father's flocks. And that was the same Yosef that was the king of Mitzrayim. That's Yiras Shamayim. But the situation, can you imagine a greater change of situation? He's out in the fields with his sheep. He's the king of an entire nation, the greatest power on the world, sustaining the entire world. Can you imagine a greater change? Yosef Haim was the same man. You would have met him and spoken to him. It's the same person. Nothing changed. The same anivus, the same sweetness, the same Yiras Shamayim. It didn't get to him. He's the same person. That's Yiras Shamayim. That's something for us to think about. Shabbos is a time of Yiras Shamayim. But I saw on Shabbos, Rav Volba writes, being a Shabbos Dikayid doesn't just mean experiencing Shabbos on Shabbos. It means experiencing Shabbos on Shabbos and pulling it out and extending it to the whole week. Not to forget who we are on Shabbos during the week. We do that sometimes. It's just like weekday, we're just like in a different mode. We are in a different mode. It's a different world. Weekday and Shabbos are different worlds. But we have to remember that we're the same Shabbos Dikayid person, the same person that stands and says L'chadaydi and turns around by Boi V'shalim. It seems, it's funny, you talk about it on a weekday, it almost seems like a different planet. With the same person, same situation. Not same situation, same person with the same relationship with Hashem, even though the situations could be so much different. We were talking a few weeks ago in Yeshiva, how you find that people, depending on what they wear, they act differently. It's an amazing thing to see. I'm sure in these management books, I'm sure they talk about it. You see the same person, and he's wearing a two-piece suit, and a tie and new shoes, and like he's, you know, and you watch him walk down the street, and then take him, redress him in a polo shirt, jeans, high tops, and change his watch, change everything. Watch him walk down the same street again. The whole walk will be different. That's how affected we are. I don't know if there's an exception to that rule. The whole walk of the person, the way he holds himself, everything's all different when he's dressed up and when he's not dressed up. That's how dependent we are. Yiras Shamayim, part of Yiras Shamayim is when I can really conceptualize and really understand that I'm an Eved to Hashem, I'm in front of Hashem, it doesn't matter what I'm wearing, who I'm talking to, what the situation is. It's all the same. A few weeks ago, I was thinking to myself, like, I'm in my house on Shabbos, at my house, and during the week, I think a little bit. I don't even think of it as the same house. I think it was during the week when I was like walking through my dining. I was like, this is the same place that the lights are on and the table is white and there's tumult going on and everything. Now it's like quiet and I'm, you know, like everyone's out of the house. And I'm just doing my thing and it's the same place. Nothing changed. It's the same place. That's how we're supposed to be. The same Adam. The situation changes, the outside changes, we're the same Adam. And just to end off, the biggest mistake that we make, we all have this mistake, is that we think the more Yiras Shemayim we have, the more intimidated we are, the more shy we are, the more timid we are. How does David HaMelech continue? The Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samei. What's we all know it now because it's the theme song of Waterbury. But Lachain Samach Libi Vayogel Kavaydi. That's the reaction to Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samei. It's unbelievable simcha. And if you think about it, it's pashut, exactly like Rabbeinu Yonah says. Because it doesn't matter the greatness of what I'm doing. It matters the greatness of who I'm doing it in front of. And that's what we have to remember. We're all extremely important. And the Pasha is a proof. Because we're all serving in front of a great master. And we don't have to define ourselves by who we are. We can define ourselves by who we're serving. Right? The president's chief of staff is the president's chief of staff. We don't really care who he is. He's important because he's the president's chief of staff. We're important because we're Avdei Hashem. So the natural result of Yerushalayim, it's a mistake, it's a malfunction, that we think the natural result of Yerushalayim is like, you know, is stress, is tension. The natural result of Yerushalayim should be pride and happiness. Samach libi, vayogel kavaydi. Don't look at the actions that we're doing as much as who we're doing them in front of.